read, read books, books.
This morning, we talk with our good friends Connie Brooks and Kate Reed from Baton Kill Books in Cambridge, New York. They are here to give us our book list for the week. They have traveled, just around the literary globe to collect these terrific books. After spending lots of time of reading dozens of books, and as Connie points out, it's March, so most of them are depressing. She joins us this morning with a terrific list. And Connie and Kate, thank you very much for being here. It's a great pleasure.
Oh, thank you.
Maybe not depressing, but you know, just
a little dark.
Darker, yes.
Yeah. So I have four that are fairly dark, and then Kate will brighten things up with the three books that she brought. So
thank you, Kate.
You're welcome.
Let's balance each other out.
So
I'm going to start with a book that is very much in the news right now, and it is called The Stranger in the Woods, The Extraordinary Story of the Last True Hermit by Michael Finkel. So the break-ins were well known in Maine. For three decades, camps and cabins had been broken into, and food, supplies, and books were stolen. And some of that news even made it down here. But whoever the thief was, he eluded capture year after year. When the news broke in 2013 that an individual named Christopher Knight had finally been arrested, journalist Michael Finkel was intrigued. He started writing to Knight in prison, and when Knight stopped sending replies, Finkel set off for Maine to see if he could meet Knight in person. Back in 1986, then 20-year-old Christopher Knight left his job as a computer technician and his home in Massachusetts, drove to Maine, and disappeared into the woods. He would not have a conversation with more than one other human being for nearly 30 years. Living in a tent, even in winter, he developed ingenious ways to store food and water and to avoid freezing to death. He broke into nearby cottages for food, clothes, propane tanks, reading material, and other provisions, taking pretty much only what was needed, but terrifying a community never able to solve the mysterious burglaries. Based on extensive interviews with Knight himself, this is a vividly detailed account of the why and how of his secluded life, as well as the challenges he's faced returning to the world. Through Knight's story, Finkel writes about solitude, community, and how far someone might go to live the life that is right for them, even if it is at a high price. And so that's The Stranger in the Woods by Michael Finkel.
Was just reading a great review of that book last night. Very, very interesting. The Stranger in the Woods, The Extraordinary Story of the Last True Hermit.
Yeah.
Next up is a book I am currently reading.
Excellent. Love Dan Shaun. Oh, my gosh.
Really good author.
Yes.
Great stuff.
Yeah. So this is Ill Will by Dan Shaun.
Your Reply? Was that the last book?
It's the last one I read of his. I feel like he might have had something else in between, but
All right.
Not sure. And Await Your Reply, if folks want to go back to one that's in paperback, is so, so good. So the story in Ill Will is, without revealing too much, just enough to tempt you, a psychologist with a small practice in suburban Cleveland, Dustin Tillman, is drifting through his 40s when he hears the news. His adopted brother, Rusty, is being released from prison. 30 years ago, Rusty received a life sentence for the massacre of their parents, aunt, and uncle. The trial came to epitomize the 1980s hysteria over satanic cults. Despite the lack of physical evidence, the jury believed the outlandish accusations Dustin and his cousins made against Rusty. Now, in a shocking reversal, the results of DNA analysis have overturned the conviction. Meanwhile, one of Dustin's patients has been plying him with stories of the drowning deaths of a string of college students, all young men. At first, Dustin dismisses his patient's suggestions that a serial killer is at work as paranoid thinking. But as the two embark on an amateur investigation, Dustin starts to believe that there's more to the deaths than coincidence. This is a Dan Shaun novel, which means the writing is marvelous and the various storylines will be layered in ways that will make your head spin.
It is entitled Ill Will by Dan Chaon, which is spelled C-H-A-O-N.
Right. Just good to point out.
You, yeah, if you're looking for it in your search engine of your choice.
Yes.
Good. All right. Next is...
We just keep on going with crime.
All
so,
right.
So I brought in Blue Light Yokohama. So I figured it's March. You might need some Japanese crime noir in your life. I certainly do. So Blue Light Yokohama is by Nicholas Obregon. Newly reinstated to the homicide division and transferred to a precinct in Tokyo, Inspector Kosuke Iwata is facing several challenges in his new role, including superiors who don't trust him and a prickly partner, Noriko Sake. The two are assigned a brutal case, the slaughter of a Korean family, with no clear motive or suspects. At the crime scene, they find puzzling ritualistic details, black smudges, a strange incense smell, and a symbol, a large black sun. Iwata doesn't know what the symbol means, but he knows what the killer means by it. I am here and I am not finished. As Iwata investigates, it becomes clear that these murders by the so-called Black Sun Killer are not the first, nor will they be the last attached to the symbol. The pressure builds as Iwata and Sake try to puzzle out the history of the Black Sun symbol and the motive for the crime before the killer strikes again. So if you like your mysteries moody and complex, Blue Light Yokohama is for you.
All right. And who doesn't like the moody
and
complex,
doesn't?
For goodness sakes?
Why read them if
All
not
right.
for...
And now the last one before we go to... The
yep.
glass half full that is Kate Reed.
This last one is a bit lighter, I have to say. So this is called The Idiot, and it is by Alif Batuman. And in the story, we roll the clock back to 1995 when Celine, the daughter of Turkish immigrants, arrives for her freshman year at Harvard. She signs up for classes in subjects that she has never heard of, befriends her charismatic and worldly Serbian classmate Svetlana, and almost by accident begins corresponding with Ivan, an older mathematics student from Hungary. Celine may have barely spoken to Ivan, but with each email they exchange, the act of writing seems to take on new and increasingly mysterious meanings. At the end of the school year, Ivan goes to Budapest for the summer, and Celine heads to the Hungarian countryside to teach English in a program run by one of Ivan's friends. On the way, she spends two marvelous weeks visiting Paris with Svetlana. Celine is a wonderfully awkward, book-loving teenager. This book is funny and poignant and a gorgeous pleasure to read. Celine herself is a beautifully realized character who positively dances off the pages. You may recognize more than a little of yourself as you reflect on your own bungling steps toward adulthood while reading The Idiot.
All right. That does sound lighter. That's good. Yeah. All right. Kate, let's go.
Well, we're going to go real light because we're going to go with... light and fun here. So today's first children's picture book is called Tidy by Emily Gravett. And our main character in this book is a badger. And he is obsessive compulsive about keeping the forest tidy. He grooms and he washes his fellow creatures. He cuts back the flowers that don't match the others in the flower patch. He polishes rocks and he picks up sticks and he vacuums the forest floor. And his fellow creatures watch with curiosity until autumn arrives. Then Badger goes into high gear and bags up all of the fallen leaves on the forest floor. And the leafless trees don't appear tidy to him, and hence he begins a downward spiral to a concrete wasteland. But luckily, Badger's friends come to the rescue, and in the end, the environment is restored. And Miss Gavitt takes a serious topic and really approaches it in a silly and humorous way that catches our attention. And from the first look at this book with its cutout front cover, where you feel like you can go right into the book, you will literally be drawn into the story with its rhyme and its rhythm and its colorful illustrations.
Just for the record, you had me at obsessive compulsive badger.
Yes, indeed.
Great
character, it really is.
You know, I may have to go out during lunch and read about the obsessive compulsive badger.
Let's hear it for badgers.
Yes.
It is really cool.
Okay, next up.
The next one I have is the newest picture book from Rachel Isadora called I Just Want to Say Goodnight. And the subject of this book, a child delaying her bedtime, is really universal to any of us who have been parents. This book, with its gorgeous, soft, warm, oil-painted illustrations, they just are gorgeous, takes us to Africa, to the veld, where Lala, the little girl, introduces us to her village as she says goodnight to the creatures and the objects around her. And if the premise of this book reminds you of Goodnight Moon by Margaret Wise Brown, you're right on. But on the last pages, I just want to say goodnight. Rachel Isadora pays homage to this classic book by including it in Lala's goodnight ritual, which I think is just charming. Again, this is a gorgeous book, well worth adding to a child's bookshelf for its images of diversity and another culture with a theme that is familiar to us all.
Okay. I Just Want to Say Goodnight by Rachel Isadora.
Yes.
All right. And finally.
And lastly, I'd like to introduce a new series of very affordable nonfiction books from the United Kingdom. And they're called The Spotlight Guides, Investigate and Understand. And the topics available at this point in time include dinosaurs, rocks and minerals and fossils, Egyptians, Greeks, Romans, Vikings, the Middle Ages, all those topics that kind of spark the kids' imagination. Mm-hmm. They are chock full of information for your inquisitive early elementary school child at half the price of many of the larger formatted nonfiction books. So I encourage our listeners to check them out. Again, they are The Spotlight Guides by Brown Bear Books.
Excellent. Well, a wonderful, a very nice balanced list for for your protection this morning.
Right.
For more information on Battenkill Books in Cambridge, you can go to their website. It's battenkillbooks.com. But for goodness sakes, just go see them. They're right on on Main Street in Cambridge, and right near the railroad tracks. And just go, and there's plenty of parking, and you can go and browse for hours.
That's right.
And anything else going on? You have anything fun coming up?
We've got a lot of stuff coming up this spring. The next big one is Independent Bookstore Day, which I know a lot of other bookstores around will be celebrating. It's April 29th, and we do lots of different fun things during the day, and we are able to offer really unique products for sale that day that authors have done that you can't get anywhere else.
That is very
cool.
That's all
I will say right now.
All right. You can find out more at battenkillbooks.com, battenkillbooks.com. Connie Brooks and Kate Reed, thank you so much. It's always a delight to see you.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you very much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.